Hello, and welcome to Your Holistic Health on WRRS, Reading Radio Services in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, Holistic Clinical Pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions, and your host for today's program. We're so glad you could join us. Today's guest is Erin Shaw, a naturalist from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources at Caesars Creek State Park in Waynesville. She will be talking with us about the healing benefits of spending time in nature. Each week, Your Holistic Health brings you integrative health news and practical health-related tips that are evidence-based and supported by clinical research to help you stay safe, feel support, and give you hope. In the news this week, a pain med's potential link to cancer? Which one? Well, it's acetaminophen, or our old friend Tylenol. It's used more and more in hospitals intravenously for post-op pain. As an over-the-counter oral product for pain and fever reduction, Tylenol has been around since 1955. It's in Excedrin, Sudafed, Robitussin, and Theraflu, and a total of 600 prescription and over-the-counter medications for adults and children. That's a lot. The California state regulators and the Consumer Healthcare Products Association have looked at 133 studies with Tylenol that were published in peer-reviewed journals and found a slight increased risk of some kidney, liver, and blood-related cancers in a few of them, while not in others. So the evidence is fairly weak. But we already know that overuse of Tylenol can damage the liver and kidney. Because of that, we put a max on that of oral products of 4 grams a day to help reduce that potential. And interestingly, a recent study even found that too much Tylenol taken long-term might reduce our ability to have empathy for others. Isn't that something? So it's always a good idea to use any PRN or as-needed pain medication in moderation as much as possible. Better still, talk with your doctor about alternatives to Tylenol to manage your pain, such as warm water therapy, thermal patches, lidocaine patches, and topical creams. Now let's turn to our holistic health tips for today. Our first tip relates to hand sanitizers. Many of us use these products to avoid getting sick. Alcohol-based hand sanitizers cannot protect us against certain bacteria, like strep or staph, or viruses, such as Ebola, influenza, norovirus, or coronavirus, because most of these products are only 70% ethyl alcohol, and that's not enough to do the job. A tip for avoiding the flu and other respiratory infections? Well, the CDC recommends 15 seconds of hand washing with soap and water, and using products like Purell only when soap is not available. Other helpful tips include zinc lozenges. Typically, there are 13 milligrams to 21 milligrams per lozenge. And I'm not talking about the oral tablets. There's too much zinc in those. And remember, zinc is a heavy metal and can accumulate. So if you use those lozenges, follow the package directions. You can also eat protein and colorful fruits and vegetables with antioxidants to build your immune system. Only use immune-boosting echinacea, the dietary supplement, for a few days at the beginning of a cold because it actually becomes an immunosuppressant and may weaken your immune system over time if it's taken too long. Get a flu shot. Use humidifiers. Eat chicken noodle soup. Try a face mask to protect yourself in public and drink lots of water because we're 70% water. And we need about 2 to 2.5 liters of water a day. Okay, our next health tip relates to sleep. Did you know that one cycle of sleep has 5 different stages that repeat over and over about 5 to 6 times each night? Yeah, you fall asleep and you wake up. And believe it or not, we dream multiple times each night, even though we might not remember that. The initial or beginning stages of sleep are light, and that just means that you're still aware of your surroundings. Others are deep, where our body heals. And heals the skin, in muscle, neurons, creates synapses in the brain. And it's actually when our brain and our memory consolidates. If you don't sleep well, not only will your memory not be as, I guess, robust, I'll use that word, but you might also wake up more hungry. Yep, it's true. Healthy sleeping can help keep that unwanted weight off. More tips for healthy sleeping. Keep your bedroom cold. I'm talking about 65 to 68 degrees cold. Do you think you can stand it? Deep breathing. Slow, deep breathing helps give our brain and our bodies life-sustaining oxygen. Consider using aromatherapy. Take a drop on a Q-tip of a little bit of essential oil, your favorite fragrance. I love eucalyptus. Many people like lavender. Put that on the back of your pillow before you go to bed at night, and you'll have a lovely fragrance that will help you fall gently off to sleep. And finally, try some relaxing teas such as chamomile, lavender, lemon balm, or the proprietary product Sleepy Time. Journaling your thoughts or your concerns about the day on a piece of paper might be helpful for some. But if you're thinking about using prescription sleep medications, or actually are, you only get 14 minutes more of sleep a night. And believe it or not, it's not really restful sleep. It's sleep in those lighter stages. And here's a scary thought. Medications like Ambien and Sonata have actually been associated with sleep driving. Yikes. So if you're on either one of those prescription medications, please talk to your doctor about a strategy to help taper off of them over a period of time to help keep you safe. And our final health tip for the day is on eye health. The topic, antioxidants. The focus is on lutein and zeaxanthin. Where are they found in the body? Well, one place is in the eye's macula. Both of these are used in eye supplements to prevent or slow the progression of macular degeneration and, to a lesser extent, cataracts. These were used in the study called ARIDS 2. In nature, lutein and zeaxanthin protect plants by absorbing excess light energy to prevent oxidative damage from too much sunlight, especially blue light. Did you know that many foods contain lutein and zeaxanthin? Well, our tip for the day is eat more kale, spinach, Swiss chard, mustard greens, turnip greens, collard greens, and dandelion greens. I actually like these vegetables sautéed in olive oil and red wine vinegar and garlic. Yummy? No? Well, in any event, please don't eat the dandelions in your lawn that's treated with pesticides to stay safe. All right, so now it's time to introduce our special guest, Aaron Shaw, a naturalist from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Parks and Watercraft at Caesar Creek State Park in Waynesville. Welcome, Aaron, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, tell us how you got interested in becoming a naturalist and a little bit about your role at Caesar's Creek.
I was born, raised, and I still live today very close to the park. My parents took me there as a child, and I just had a growing interest as I became an adult. I also had a few school teachers that really encouraged me to be connected and to learn through outdoor education.
That sounds exciting. I'm glad to hear that that was taking place in the classroom and outside. And we thank you for your talents. I've enjoyed working with you in your winter workshop over the last what did we think? 20 years, 15 years?
Yeah.
A long time. So who are some of your best friends at that nature center?
Did you say who is my best friend at the nature center? It's a little screech owl. He is so cute. And we bring him inside during the winter time. His legs are fragile to the bitter cold. And in the evening when everyone leaves, he makes the cutest sound. He sings to me, and it sounds like... It's so, so cute. I would say that's my best friend there.
Well, I've met him, and I've also met a couple more of your friends, one of whom is a sweet little turtle. Tell us about him.
Oh, yes. There's two turtles, actually. Pumpkin, I would say, has been through a lot in her life and has taught a lot of children and families the importance of keeping wild animals wild.
Very good. So is the owl and the turtle, are the owl and the turtle friends?
Well, of course.
So your friends?
They've done many, many programs together, actually.
Sue friends, me friends. Sue casa, me casa.
Right.
I love it. How many different trees and plants are available in the Nature Center in the surrounding areas, Erin?
You know, I don't actually know the number. I could do some research, I'm sure, and find the biological diversity. But the trees look different when they're young, and then when they're old. The birds look different when they're juveniles and then when they're older birds. For example, a bald eagle looks all dark until about 5 years when it gets its white head and white tail. So the difference, there's probably a specific number. I don't know what it is, but to me, every day is an adventure. I learn something new every time I'm there.
When we come to your workshop, I would say I always see about 10 different kinds of species. I couldn't tell you what they were in terms of the trees. And it's a rich forest, so it's worth exploring. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I agree. And like I said, I could be going to the same place for every day, and I learn something, I observe something, I appreciate something new from that every day.
So here's a new concept called forest bathing, and I'm going to try to introduce this to our listeners. It's pretty popular right now, although it sounds a little different, but it's catching interest all around the country. And it's because we know that plants and trees are healthy, but we know more of the science today than we used to. And it's interesting. People have told us that plants and trees emit an essential oil called a phytonicide that protects the plant from insects and disease. But for humans, when we inhale that essential oil, it actually builds up our immune system. It enhances a certain cell activity. They're called natural killer cells, and those are good things. They're all good things to enhance our immune system. And wouldn't you know, recently I read a Time special edition that's called Let Nature Heal, and it's talking about physicians writing prescriptions for nature instead of prescriptions for medications. I love that. So what do you think are the health benefits of nature experiences, whether people are sighted or not?
I believe that there's a physical health aspect, also a mental and also a spiritual health aspect that's in nature, that you can only get in nature.
Well, I agree with that. And the authors of this particular article in Time suggested you only need 30 minutes a day. So listeners, there you go. We want you to become motivated to get out in nature. All it takes is a half an hour of your time or more. And you should look into forest bathing. I think that's going to be a coming to theaters near you very soon. Well, interestingly and not surprisingly, Erin, I spent most of my formative years in the woods, sitting up in apple trees or at the pond watching butterflies and tadpoles. And I believe it really gave me the gift of creativity. I'd love it if you describe your favorite childhood place in nature, since I'm sure you have one.
I do, for sure. And there's a big field right by my house. I lived on the valley of the river. And I remember sitting there as a child for hours upon end, and I would bring books out there and read. I would draw. I would journal. But something that really sticks out to me are the sounds of the birds. And something interesting is I had a dream about it about a week ago before I knew even, you know, that you were going to ask me questions like this. And the dream took me right back to that childhood spot. I mean, I had that sense of wonder, you know, and it was the birds, the bobwhite quail. And they since have dropped in numbers. So I haven't heard that bird sound in a very long time. And I heard it, and it just filled my heart with joy and memories.
I love that.
So it was just a few, yeah. Uh-huh.
I love that. And I think it's interesting that you opened up the spot today with the sound of the owl. So when you're in the woods or at a stream or in nature in general, I'm sure you feel happy. It sounds happy when you describe your childhood. Which senses come to mind other than the sound that you heard of the birds' voices? What other senses come to mind when you think back to today, being in nature and being in your job, in your career?
Well, what other senses? So I do a lot of nighttime programs, nocturnal programs, because a lot of people get blinded almost just because they are overwhelmed with their sense of sight. And then so we have nocturnal animals that go out and they navigate the darkness with their other senses. So sense of sound for me in particular is very important because the daytime sounds different than the nighttime and the spring sounds different than the fall. But you also have different smells. Spring smells different than fall. And the sense of feel. So if I'm walking on a trail, I can feel with my feet if I'm on the trail or not. So it really heightens your other senses that a lot of people miss.
So do you think blind individuals and those who may be somewhat visually impaired could enjoy and experience nature as you've described?
I think they could, and I think they could actually teach other people what they are missing when they're out there.
Ooh, there's a thought. I love that. Well, there's a book out, and it's called Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder, and it's by Richard Love, L-O-U-V. It's been out for a number of years. I've actually interviewed Richard in a past life, and it just hit me that our kids are missing something if they're on cell phones, iPads, computers, laptops, too much. And that's exactly why he wrote the book. Do you know what nature deficit disorder is? And if you ever talked about that at your nature center?
I have. I have read parts of the book. To be honest, I haven't read all the way through, but I have read it enough to where I do understand it. Even without the book, I can see it happening. And it's a real thing. Parents, their perspective is changing to where they're afraid to let their kids go outside for various reasons. And kids also are becoming more and more disconnected because of technology and different things. And I believe this causes a disconnection with the environment, therefore our water quality. You know, the plants and the trees, the birds, everything is being affected by this.
So we're looking for a symbiosis in Mother Nature with humans, animals, plants, and all flora and fauna, and it's being disrupted. Is that sort of the summary?
Yes.
Well, parents, this is a wake-up call. We want our children to explore nature for many reasons. We've talked today about health reasons with essential oils in the trees. We've talked about using all of our senses and how healing that could be. We've talked about the creativity element and most importantly, the element of joy and fulfillment. All of those things can be for our children and for us as adults, if only we just intentionally set aside time to explore nature. So, Aaron, how can we positively affect our next generation in terms of emotional health and maybe even in terms of their ability to learn, awareness for maybe environmental issues on a community level or perhaps even a global level? And then finally, how can that connect or help us connect family bonds?
I think that how can we affect their lives? So by understanding yourself is very important, to have that passion within yourself first. And there's various ways to do that. And one way, like you said, is just to get out there and enjoy it and to experience those effects personally. And then from there, it grows beyond yourself to where you want to share and give back. And a way that we can share this through family bonds, I think, is to take the generation before us and the generation after us. So, for example, my grandma, I could take, you know, my kids or my neighbor's kids over to my grandma's house. She loves to watch the birds, you know, and we can hear them. She's got the bird feeder very close to her house. So we're connecting that generation with the kids, which is something that's missing today. And then with that, the kids can have that connection with the birds, and then they can go further and do research on our environment. Why are our birds disappearing? You know, what has happened to this habitat? Things like that.
I love that. In our backyard, we have a small pond, and our family connection has to do with the turtle, of all things. We've tried to collect turtles over the years, probably the wrong ones, because they keep hopping out of the pond and running up the hill. It's a standing joke in our family. But my delight is in watching turtles in that pond. And to that end, I have a very sweet devotion that I'd like to read to our listeners called Waiting with the Turtle. Every fall, when the painted turtle senses winter coming, she dives to the bottom of her pond, burying herself in the muck and mud. She pulls into her shell and goes still. Her heart rate slows, almost stopping. Her body temperature drops, staying just above freezing. She stops breathing and she waits. For 6 months, she stays buried, and her body releases calcium from her bones into her bloodstream, so that she slowly begins even to lose her shape. But when the pond thaws, she will float up and breathe again. Her bones will reform, and she will feel the warmth of the sun on her shell. Perhaps it feels like you've been waiting forever for something to change, for a new direction in your career, for a relationship to be restored, for the willpower to break a bad habit, or for the deliverance from a difficult situation or condition. The painted turtle is here to remind us to trust in spirit, our ever-present foundation of hope. That's such a sweet message, and thank you, Aaron, for letting me share that with our listeners today.
That actually gave me chills. Is there a name of that devotion where I can...
There is. This came from Our Daily Bread. It's from one of the February readings, or January readings, I think. I'll go ahead and send that to you, and I can certainly post this online for our listeners as well.
So I love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thanks to you again, Aaron Shaw, our naturalist from Caesars Creek State Park today, for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's time to wrap up our show. This is Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist. For more information on my professional services, please visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. Next week, our guest will be Jessica Tai, wellness educator, nutritional therapy practitioner, and cookbook author, who will be talking with us about healthy nutrition. Tune in again to Your Holistic Health on WRRS, Saturdays at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard, or visit the website cincyblind.org, go to the podcast section, and the interview channel. Blessings for body, mind, and spiritual healing. See you next week.